have Darcy and Gordon Coulson coming. Come on up, guys. Let's honor them. We're excited to have an opportunity to hear their transformation story. Yay! Look, you got the cheering crowd. There you go. Awesome. But before we get started, I just wanted to pray over them. Can we just extend your hand? Father, I just thank you so much for Darcy and Gordon. Lord, I just thank you just for the so many things that you have done in their life that I know that they've had to go through their timeline just to highlight a few to share with us tonight. I know there's so much, God, but I thank you for the opportunity of just being able to hear and to receive, Lord, for the goodness that you've done in them. And Lord, would you just fill them right now? I just come against, I know there's been allergy stuff and sickness stuff in the air, and so just come against that for everybody, Jesus. We refuse to give allergies a season. So just let it all go away. We just release healing and peace. We release health. And Lord, just let this be a beautiful opportunity to remember you, Lord, for them, to remember the goodness of God. So I thank you. Fill their mouth, Holy Spirit, with what you want to impart to them, through them, for us. We thank you. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, you guys have got two mics right there. Both get one. All right.
Am I on? Okay. The hardest part is for me to walk, to talk into a microphone. So if I hear me, tell me, because I talk with my hands. Cindy's right. When she asked us about this, I just kind of put it out there to the Lord and kind of just waited to see what I heard. But my life, our life together, gosh, it's just been so rich, and there's been so much. And a lot of you that I know have heard, because I love to tell the stories. So it was just hard to decide where to start. So I kind of picked a spot, but I've got to start at the beginning, and then I'll jump to that spot. And I'm going to leave a lot out. So we'll have to do this another time, or we'll get together individually, and I'll share some good stuff. But I'll just start with I'm going to make this part really brief. I did not grow up in a family that actually went to church or talked about God all the time, but I had a grandmother who did. And this grandmother, my parents worked all the time, and I spent a lot of time with Mamie. That was her name. And she was awesome. She just planted the word of God into my heart. She told me Bible stories. I knew that my God was good and he loved me and he was awesome. And there was just never any doubt in my mind about that. She made sure that out of her little bitty income, she paid for me to go to an Episcopal school, kindergarten through fifth grade. So I got a little bit more word planted in my heart, not a lot, obviously, or I don't mean obviously, but I didn't. I had not been baptized, and it came time for confirmation classes, and apparently all the other kids been baptized, and I hadn't, so I needed to make a decision, and all that was, you know, I didn't know enough to make a really good decision, but I made the good decision, but I didn't make it based on really knowing what I should have known, but I accepted Jesus into my heart because I wanted to go to heaven. And that was about it. I just wanted to go to heaven. And it wasn't until a lot later that I came to the Lord in a little bit different way. I made a reaffirmation of my faith at a revival, and that was really, I knew why then. But anyway, I'm going to try to not skip around too much here. The only thing I was going to say about, I left that time in my life as a child. I said I carried the golden rule in my heart. That's really what I had. I knew that I wanted to treat other people the way that I wanted to be treated. And I felt like that's what God wanted me to do. I'm going to fast forward way through time. There was a lot of stuff in that, but I really kept that spirit about me of just grace and love, and I treated other people the way I wanted to be treated. Okay, so I ended up divorcing my husband after 20 years, and I end up a single mom with two girls on my own. And that's when I really got reconnected in the church. Shortly after that, our church had a revival, and that's when I made the reaffirmation of faith. And I didn't really know what happened, but honestly, from that day forward, I was totally filled with the Holy Spirit. Things just happened. It was just awesome, and I didn't fall out. I didn't, you know, I was in a Presbyterian church. Nobody fell out. We just, everything was different the next day, and it was great. So I became real involved in the church, and I was in lots of different ministries, but I was a youth leader with middle school girls. And I was on a camp, a summer camp trip as a chaperone. And the gospel was presented in three sessions at this camp. And the second night, they ended with this really scary message of sin, and the wages of sin is death. And good night, we'll see y'all in the morning. So I went back to the cabin with that a dozen middle school girls that are all just in tears, freaking out. And I had never heard it put quite that way before myself. And we went to scripture. We spent several hours in the Word that night. And the Lord just comforted each of us. I mean, words came to me that I didn't have. I was directed to scriptures I didn't know. And I believe that was, God used that camp to teach me why I made the decision that I did. And it was really very, very eye-opening for me after that camp. Let's see. I was a leader in youth ministry. I was in women's ministry. I did Bible studies in my house. I was very well versed in the goodness of God and in faith and in the power of prayer. And what I didn't realize I was missing was, I'm about to skip over something really important. I was really well versed in all that. There were things missing. One thing that was missing was a husband, and I met Gordon in 2003, and 6 months later to the day we were married, and it was awesome, except for we had a lot of stuff going on, not with us personally, but just trials in life to deal with, and it was a lot, and we just did it together. We stood in faith and just kind of busted through it, just persevered and persevered. And that's when I realized that what I was missing was I started to learn about spiritual warfare. And I was like, oh, okay, there's this battle. And I started learning a little bit about spiritual warfare. And just a little bit of knowledge about spiritual warfare is not good because it really brought on the battles. I can remember sitting reading the Psalms, and that's something I used to do when I just felt out of control. I would just read Psalms out loud, just read them out loud. And I remember sitting there reading, thinking, wow, I'm glad I don't have any enemies. And I really thought that, and I was a grown-up. And as soon as I thought that, it's like the Lord said, okay, we're going to teach you some lessons here. And so I started learning a lot more about spiritual warfare, and it was great. It was all just good teachings. I didn't even realize it, but our life got busier and busier and busier and busier. And this is where I'm really going to have to fast forward through a lot. And there's great stories in here. But we had several businesses, several people living in our house. There was a lot going on. I had a young lady, an interior design intern that came in from out of state that summer to intern for me, and she was there about a month, and she said, your life needs to be a reality TV show. This is crazy. And I said, you're right, it is crazy. And she went home, and I just started praying and praying. I could picture myself with plates in the air, you know, on the sticks. And I had way more than I could deal with. They were just spinning and spinning and spinning. And I felt like I was responsible for everyone. Every one of my employees I knew would die of hunger and get thrown out of their homes if I didn't come up with their paycheck. And I had mouths to feed. It was just, there was so much responsibility. And I just said, okay, God, finally, I've just got to give this to you because I can't do this anymore. And very shortly after that, man, he came through. Everything stopped. Everything stopped. And it was really scary, but everything stopped. And it wasn't scary, nearly as scary as I'd anticipated it being. And then all of a sudden it was like, deep breath. Okay. Whew. We were out of debt. We sold our house. We moved. It was great. And we were in this very, very peaceful, peaceful place that no one lived with us. Well, we still had a couple living with us, but not nearly as many. we got with her a lot of them when we sold the house. There was just this time of healing and peace that the Lord just said, just rest. Just rest. So I just began, I mean, I literally closed my office up. I didn't even have samples at this house. I didn't want to work. I didn't want to do anything. I just sat. And I started listening to everybody I could listen to a lot of Bethel, just a lot of soaking, a lot of meditating, a lot of just reading the word, pondering the word. And the Lord just opened up the floodgates and started giving me these downloads, just download after download after download. And in the beginning, it was really scary because the majority of it was things that I was totally deceived about. I had no idea existed. Evil in the world that I didn't know existed. Demonic things that I didn't know existed. A lot of deception, and it kind of scared me, but I knew that because I wasn't out seeking this, though, I mean, these were downloads, revelation, that, you know, the Lord said, I've got this, don't worry about it. This is information that you need. And so, I mean, I prayed a lot, and I asked why a lot, but he really just continued to show me an awful lot of things that I didn't know and a lot of other people didn't know. So fast forward again a little bit. I started learning about authority. That led me into what do I do about this. And he started teaching me authority, authority, authority. And I read everything I could read on authority. I started listening to everybody that I knew. It seemed like everything I picked up was about authority at that point anyway. And I wasn't sure what I was supposed to do with this authority. It was kind of scary, but exciting in a way. I don't want to miss anything. Did I? The power of words, that was the other thing that I had I had learned a lot about, actually before all this started, I had learned about the power of my word, and I became a word police. I didn't let you say anything negative. If you tell me that you had allergies, I would say they're not your allergies. And, you know, I was really bad word police. You couldn't speak negative words in my house. And so at this point, once I'm learning about authority, he started teaching me about the power of my words. And he's like, no, these words have power. There's creative power in these words. You can do things with these words. You have a power. So I'm just journaling and listening and reading. At one point, Gordon and I started listening to Curry Blake. And I don't know if y'all ever heard of him, but he teaches a lot on John G. Lake's method of healing. And I was like, wow, I can take this authority and use it for healing. I didn't know anything about healing. I remember the Episcopal Church and the Presbyterian Church, I didn't know anything about healing, really. So, you know, we're learning all about this authority and healing, and it was just awesome. And about 3 days later, we watched Curry Blake several times for just like YouTube video after video after video. And one of his teachings, he actually had a personal testimony in it where his daughter fell out of a second-story window and hit the ground, and he saw it happen. And he went over to her, and several of the family members rushed over, and they're freaking out. And he said, anybody without faith, leave right now. And he said, you will live and not die. 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 And he just kept repeating it and kept repeating it. And she was okay. I think she had, you know, a couple of little injuries, but she came out of it and was fine. And boy, that just really struck me, you know, that he just used those very few words as just weapons. And it really, really sank into my heart. And less than a week later, we had a good friend over. You know, it's hard to, this is my daughter's fiance's son, spending the night with Samuel. And they're outside playing. It was about 11 o'clock in the morning. They're playing, and Gordon and I were just visiting inside, and Samuel comes running in the house and he says, Mikey fell off the cliff. Well, we lived in a subdivision where we're up high on a cliff, but there's a guardrail, I mean, a nice railing around it. And the kids were in the front yard, way far away from the cliff playing. So we're kind of confused, and we both started to head outside. And he said, no, you have to get in the car and drive. He's at the bottom. So Gordon, at that very moment, I said, he will live and not die. I just looked at Gordon and said, he will live and not die. And Gordon said, I'll go to the bottom. And I said, he will live and not die. Samuel, stay here with me. He will live and not die. 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 And I got louder, and I got madder, and I called 911, and I told him, the little boy fell off a cliff. Gave him my address, and they're asking me all these details, and I said, I don't have any idea. I don't know. Bye. And had to make a couple of other phone calls to get his dad on his way, and I headed outside to meet the ambulance or the fire truck at that time. I did call a friend who is a real prayer warrior. And when I called her, she said, the Lord alerted me at 8:30 this morning to be praying for a child in an accident. I said, all right, he's on it. He will live and not die. He will live and not die. That's all I could say. I prayed in the Spirit, and I said those words. And I prayed in the Spirit, and I said those words. But what I want to tell you is that I absolutely would not let the enemy, and I saw him as the enemy, those thoughts, every thought that came in my mind that there was anything wrong with that child, a picture, anything in my mind, I fought it
like I was fighting for my life. He will live and not die. He will live and not die. And I would not let the thoughts creep in. I would not let the words come out of my mouth. I would not. And I drove down to where Gordon was. I mean, I don't know how far it is, but it's a ways. You had to drive to the end of the street, 7 or 8 houses, and then Gordon had to walk back to look for Mikey. And are you going to tell this part, or do you want...
Sure. This was really the first time, I believe, that we really trusted God for something this big. I mean, we'd had financial issues that we went through, but nothing that might have challenged you in this way. So, and like Darcy said, from the teachings that we were listening to, that prepared us, I believe. God was preparing us ahead of time. And I had to drive down to it's a linear park, and I had to come back about 1/8 of a mile on foot to reach him. And by faith, I just started calling out his name, not knowing for sure. I thought, well, perhaps, you know, he didn't fall the whole distance. And we learned later it was a 93-foot fall. And, I mean, full-grown trees weren't even to the top of this cliff. So I was calling out his name, and I heard him respond. And I'm thinking he must have stopped on a ledge or caught in a tree. But when I got to him, when I finally zeroed on where he was sitting on the ground amidst some rocks, some substantial rocks. And I think scared more than anything. And I just put my hand on him and said, "You are blessed. You are blessed." And began checking him out and asking him how he was. And he was just more scared than anything, I think. He just said he hurt all over. But the more I tested it, he was fine, except... I felt like I needed to carry him out of there. So I carried him out, there was a wooded area, and I carried him back to where Darcy was waiting. And I just, from a distance, said, he's fine, you know, because we believed that he was. And all the way down to get to where he was, I was praying in the Spirit and believing. You know, like Darcy was saying, there was no negative thoughts. We didn't allow those to enter. And I believe that's, you know, that grew our faith tremendously from that point on, you know.
Absolutely. And that was just part of the battle. I mean, by then, there's an ambulance there. They're all freaking out that Gordon's carried him and he's not on a stretcher. He is... But as Gordon carried him out, he lifted his head up and looked at me and said, "I'm fine, Graham. I'm okay." And boy, they took him. They called Life Flight. They Life Flighted him out of there to the trauma center. And... they ran every test that they could on this child. They kept him overnight, and he didn't have a scratch on him. He did, I take that back. He had a small scratch, but it wasn't enough to have Neosporin on it. He was absolutely fine. He was fine. With the ambulance there, the helicopter, all the things, the circumstances were awful. People were freaking out. There were neighbors by this point that are all. And what I want to impart to you all tonight is to not receive. The key is to not receive the bad news. Don't let it come in. Don't give it a foothold. Do not receive it. Do not. That is the best warfare. There's resist and resist and resist. In my mind, that is do not receive, do not receive, do not receive. Everything that happened to Mikey that day was by the hand of God and angels, or who knows what happened from the top of the 92 feet to the bottom. But he was fine, and our lives will never be the same. The night before, I just say, just real quick, I know I'm taking too much time, but the night before that, we'd been praying. I pray with the boys at night before bedtime, and Samuel had gone first, and Mikey wasn't really involved in church. We had taken him a few times to the church we were going to, but he'd never been in church before, and he'd never had prayers or anything like that. So Samuel was modeling bedtime prayers for him, and you know, I said, okay, Mikey, so what are you thankful for? And he said, I'm not thankful for anything. And so the next day in the hospital, I was up there with him, and I said, so, Mikey, what are you thankful for? Today, if you ever see him up here with us worshiping, he's the young man with both hands held high. He is in love with Jesus. He still, to this day, I know he doesn't really know what happened. His parents don't talk about it because they don't want to bring up any bad memories. But he loves Jesus. He loves Jesus. But anyway, I guess that was my main thing I wanted to impart to everyone that I felt like, you know, God took me down this very long path to get to, was he was teaching me how to not receive. Anyway, here you go, Gordon.
Okay, I got it. I want to just tell you a little bit about my growing up years. My parents were, I don't remember not going to church. And when there were seven of us kids, and they made sure we got ready and got to church every Sunday. So it was it was just like you never knew that there wasn't a God and that loved you, and you know, we just had that. And so and I just wanted to say my parents imparted me, like my dad, was honesty and integrity, because he had his own business and I worked there when I got into high school, and that was just something that he taught it, and I believe I learned that lesson from him about being honest with everybody you work with, you know. And my mother was just, she imparted me like love and compassion for everybody. And they, my mother was with a big family. She was like, she had six brothers and six sisters. And growing up, you know, they did like house raisings, because they would notify everybody, hey, we're gonna put this house up for, you know, this uncle or nephew or whoever it was. And we got together a lot of times during those kind of things. My dad usually wired the houses, and I'd help him wiring houses when I was young, you know, big enough to run a drill and drill through the studs, and he ran wiring. So it was just a good growing up time, you know, and a family time. So when it came to be, you know, and like I was going to say, at 12 years old, I believe that when I first came forward and accepted the Lord in a little church. It was only like 75 member church, but our family made a pretty good size. My our family plus my aunt and uncle went there, and my grandparents went there. So we had a good chunk of the 75. Anyways, it was but it always stayed at that, about that size. My parents were one of the founding families of that particular church, and grew up that way. Started meeting in a parsonage and ended up building our own facility, and you know, later adding on to it when I was like 20. I remember helping on the addition. So really grounded in that family time and church. And then I think I kind of got lost a little bit in the weeds there, and I felt like I needed to, you know, I dated different girls, and I felt like I need to find the right one, and I'm not finding her, so I'm going to, you know, train somebody to be the one. It was on my own effort, but we did have, I mean, we had three children, and we were going through that, but then it just kind of, after 20-some years, it just fell apart, because I want to say, there's just a lot of hurt things that were happening. I married a daughter of a pastor, and she had a lot of rebellious spirit and hurt things that happened to her that ended up contributing to all that. And so we went through that, and ended up, we got a divorce, and that was the hardest thing for me to go through, because of my strong belief in family and church, and all the while she took a job to make sure she would work every weekend and not be in church anymore, and all the time people were telling me, you have such a great family. Your kids are so great. They're in youth. And I worked with the youth department. And you knew that it was a lie. You know, it wasn't the truth. What was happening wasn't really what people were seeing, wasn't really what was going on. And so we went through that hard time. And after the divorce, there was like a period of 4 years of just trusting God completely. And I remember saying, I must have said a million times, because I said, help me make it to the other side. Because I knew there was going to be an eventual end. It was a very lonely time, even though the kids decided, two of them, one was already out of the house, but the other two said, well, we're going to go with you. So I sold the house we had been living in, got a different one, and was remodeling it. And 4 years went by. I was remodeling on a slow pace. And that's when I was still very involved in church and in different ways. The youth department, I headed up the facilities. We had 4 buildings and all that. I was probably there 4 or 5 days every week at church and just buried myself in that. But I was also trusting God for an end to all the lonely time. And then I got involved in a new, we started a praise team in this Baptist church. You have to understand, that was a big deal for them. We had to build a new activity center, and we started having a praise team got together, and I had tickets for a Norah Jones concert, if you know who she is. At the time, she wasn't real well known. And I told another couple who's in praise team with me, I really need to find somebody to go on this date and take these tickets, you know. So they rounded up Darcy. I didn't know her at all before this. They brought her to church, or they told, she could probably tell better, but she came arm in arm. She had a girlfriend on either arm. Because she was, like she said, a single mom, and she'd been in the same situation of being divorced for about 4 years, probably. And it was just like magical moment. I tell you, it was awesome. Like she said, it was 6 months, but we were only visiting together for a couple months, and I decided to get engaged, and I took her to the beach. And in Florida, every afternoon, almost every afternoon in the summertime, these storms roll in, and it's cloudy, you know. And so I had this ring ready to give her, right? And we went, I said, let's go down to the beach, and we were there. And the storm clouds, they kind of parted. There was a little bit of sunshine. And then there was this double rainbow. It was amazing. And I was like, I said, look at that double rainbow. And she looked at it, and that's when I, you know, brought the ring out. And so that was the beginning of just what has been an awesome journey for us together, because we have seen, and I wrote that down, because there's just different times in our lives. Like when we left Florida to come to Texas, we were leaving, going over the bridge to leave town, and there was a double rainbow. I mean, we've seen multiple times. In fact, people call us up when they see them and say, hey, there's one over there. So, but that was just, to me, it was God's promises. You know, that's just, he's promised us. And I just keep all the promises he had for us up front, even when we were going through, like she was saying, with all these businesses, and we were going through a difficult financial time, I would say the least. It was like incredibly difficult, and Darcy was trying to juggle all the funds and deciding who can we pay this week and who do we not pay, and we had 10 employees, and it was really difficult. And but through it all, we saw God's provision, and unexpectedly, we would get checks in the tens of thousands of dollars, and it was just incredible that would keep us, you know, keep moving us forward. And we had this shop like 7 years altogether. We started as a Christian, you know. You have to know Darcy talked about reading books. She has a lot of books. When I met her, she had a ton of books already. She's really into reading and anything she could get her hands on. So when we started Shopping Green, we said we're going to have an area of Christian books, you know, and we went through that process and had them in the gift shop. And then as it progressed, we were there 4 years, and we moved it to a pastor friend of ours said, you ought to have a coffee shop along with these books. So we did that. We had a room that was 13 bookcases of all these books from different, all Christian-based, and that was just something that we felt like we're supposed to do. And those, you have to understand, books don't really, they don't make you any money at all. You know, they're predetermined what the prices are going to be on them. So the markup is very limited. And then we had the gift shop. But so it was just, we got to the point where we were sitting in church one evening, I think it was an evening, and we got a text from our daughter saying that the landlord has put chains on the doors to our business and locked us out for 30 days. We couldn't even go in, and he was still expecting us to pay rent. And then he was putting penalties on top of the rent because we were late. So it was just snowballing, and it was getting, the numbers were getting crazy. And so, but God came through again, and we were having difficulty making house payments, and we were concerned about the house going to default, you know. And so here, it came time, the landlord was like wanting to, he was like a miserly guy. So he was wanting that pound of flesh, you know, he was saying, Darcy's laughing at me, but it was true. He made it really difficult for us, and we ended up selling all the inventory and meeting all the demands he was looking for to break our lease. We had a lease, and we had to pay several, like 6 months lease just to get out of it. So it was a pretty big number, and we sold off every bit. And as we sold it, he wanted to be right there making sure every dime that came in went in his pocket. And so we went through 5 or 6 weeks of selling everything and not getting any money. We didn't have any income. You have to understand our design business was feeding this other business. And so we were like believing for provision, and then we got locked out, and then things just, it was a crazy time. That's what she was talking about. We had all these things going on, and people, once we had a big house, and so everybody thought it'd be a good place to live with us. We had a good group. Oh yeah, it's recorded. Be careful. But it was a good time though. We had the ability to. We had our house on the market, and we knew that this landlord was going to he wanted to garner anything he could out of the house sale. And the Lord provided long enough for us to get through that time. And when we sold the house, he didn't get anything. Wow. He would have demanded the whole 10-year lease.
He would have, and we knew that. But the cool thing was he had to sign off on this lease. He had to let us out of the lease. Mm-hmm. And after he was paid his money and all that, he waited like another almost a month before he would, you know, he wouldn't show up. Every time we were supposed to meet, he just wouldn't show up. So finally, his secretary calls and says, the documents are signed. You just need to come to my office and sign them. So we went in and signed them. And within an hour, we had a full price cash offer on our house. So that, right. I have to just give God that glory.
We did. We gave God the glory for everything as it was unfolding. You know, we had celebrations whenever we had a little bit of food come in from the shop. Once we got in there after 30 days, there were some non-perishable things that we could get out. And that's what we were eating for a while until we actually closed on the house. And then we were able to pay everybody off because we had taken out a second mortgage on the house. We were extremely deep in debt. So it was just like totally when Darcy was speaking of the house where we went to as a respite after all that, and the house sold, and God just gave us a place where we could defrag, you know, and after going through, it was probably 3 years of just a steady bombardment of things, you know, and even if we go out of town to a wedding, I remember, and the things would just follow us. They'd come after, they'd call us, and you know, with problems. And they went in, you know, there was no rest. There was never any rest. We went through a three-year time of no rest. And so then we were in this place. We were actually helping a client of ours. I designed a new home for him, and they were moving out, and we said, well, what are you going to do about your house? It's on the market. Can we just rent it from you or lease it from you for a while? We just went month to month for like 16 months. So it ended up being a lot longer time than we ever thought it was going to be. And it was a beautiful place. And like she said, it had the cliff and all that story to go with it. One of the things that Darcy was talking about, the spoken word, when we work with clients in designing houses, it's so sad to hear these clients will say, you need to make provision for my husband. He's going to be in a wheelchair someday. And there's physically nothing wrong with them. They speak these kind of things for years. You know, this is going to be our last home. Maybe they've already built a couple. Now, we want to make sure this one is going to meet all our handicap needs because we're getting older. You know, and it's like, what? Why do you have this mentality? You know, you're speaking things in the negative. And we try to put a spin on, you know, try to bring them out of that. But, you know, that's the one big thing that, you know, we need to learn as Christians is not to take on the negative, you know, and receive it in that way to where you just make it, the words just come out of your mouth. I mean, Darcy was the first one to really preach it in our household, and she let me know if I said anything out of line. So but it was really a time of growth. Like she said, during that time where we were listening to Curry's messages, and I just wanted to say that there's just a restoration that needs to happen in people's minds and their mindset and their thinking, that they need to go and call on God and receive what He has for them, not in a positive, all the positive promises that He has for us. We need to dwell on the promises, not on the situations that we're surrounded by, because they surely can overwhelm you if you allow them to. And I was reading Psalms 23 again. It's, you know, one of the phrases in there that He's going to restore us. He's, you know, and I wrote down here the restoration things that we are like health. He can restore your health. He can pray. You can pray for people and their health is restored. We've seen it happen. The financial situation, you know, I'm a witness for that. You know, you can be hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt and you can come out of it. You know, relationships that have been broken for whatever reason. And just the restoration of your soul that it talks about in Psalms 23, He restoreth your soul. And we have, you know, we've heard about, we're going to hear more about inner healing, and all that is about restoring your soul, things that have wounded you and that you carry. You know, I spoke about my first wife. She saw things happen in church, and she worked in a church when she was an adult, and it just, she carried that, and she didn't let it go. And it's all that, you know, we see the hurt, the soul hurts that have happened to people, and they live it out for 20, 30, 40 years. They don't let go of it. And so my big thing is I wanted to part people's was the restoration that you can receive through Jesus. Through just trusting Him, no matter how difficult things appear at the time, there's always the other side. You get through these things. I don't know if we, I wrote down this morning, I was reading, there's two words that Jesus always says, I am. You know, it's only three letters, I am. That's what he would say. He said he was the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end. And I am the way, the truth, the light. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And he asked Peter, he's asking the disciples, who do you say that I am? And they were saying a prophet or this, that. But Peter's the one who said, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, you only knew that through the Spirit. That's the only way you knew that was truth. And then the other thing is, who do you seek? Jesus, he said, I am the... Let me read this. This is from John. He said, he was Jesus the Nazarene. When they came to arrest him in the garden, and they said, they're looking for, who are you looking for? And he said, Jesus of the Nazarene. He said, I am. And when he said, I am he, they just fell to the ground under the power of that spoken word. And that's why I just want to reiterate, we have that same power in our spoken word to cause things that don't look like they are to be. You know, even though we're surrounded by negative circumstances, we don't dwell on the negative. We start speaking the positive. And I know if you do this and you stay with it, like we've experienced, you'll see miracles happen that you never thought could happen. Whether they're physical or otherwise, you know, they're financial. So that's about all I had to say. I don't know if you want. I don't know where we are on time.
No, you're great.
Oh, I wanted to point out to you that Darcy's an interior designer, right? Look at her colorful notes and. Mine just pencil, but
this is neater too.
But she brings the color to my life, so it's.
Aww, that's sweet, huh?
Anyways, I'd like to pray over all of you. I'd like to just say, Lord Jesus, we know that we trust is what builds our faith. We trust in you for the little things, and then. As the bigger things come, we know that you have those as well. I just ask that you would speak to everyone's heart here, that you would reveal to them what it's like to trust you for even a miracle of healing or financial problems or a relational problem with someone, Lord. And just to heal those soul hurts that people are experiencing, Lord. Just move in your spirit through this group of people here and help them sense your presence, your comfort that you bring through your Holy Spirit.
I just heard in my spirit that I want to speak life over everyone here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to just say to you all, everyone in this room, you will live and not die. You will live and not die. You will live and not die. You will have life, and you will have life abundantly, because that's what Jesus came for, and that's what he accomplished, and it's been done, and it's finished. In Jesus' name, amen.